Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Coming up, we'll talk to Steve Bono about the 49ers' 26-20 overtime win in Chicago against the Bears. But before we do that, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. And Steve joins us to talk about the 49ers' win in overtime in Chicago, 26-20. And it turned out to be a very exciting game, Steve. I mean, it was kind of boring until the fourth quarter, and then the 49ers pull it out. It was almost miraculous, though. I mean, who expected that Gold would miss that field goal? Because he's been pretty reliable as a kicker.
Yeah, that's what I understand. I mean, I can't say that I know him, but they did comment that he had a new long snapper. The timing of it. Yeah, I mean, and he obviously, it was in his head, you know, because he kind of rushed on both of those. You kind of look at it as a golf, in my mind, I look at it as a golf swing, you know, and you yank it back down from the top and don't stay smooth through it. And basically that's what he did. He just tried to rush that kick. And I think it was in his head that I got a new long snapper and the timing's off. But for the benefit of the Niners.
Well, if memory serves, didn't you do a lot of holding in your career? I mean, there's a lot of timing involved.
Yeah.
It's just such an execution thing that, you know, everybody's got to be in sync.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And just the speed with which the ball comes back, I mean, can vary drastically. You know, when I was holding here for probably most of the time, it was Ralph Tam and Mike Kofor was the kicker, and Ralph just fired fastballs. I mean, just rockets. You know, whereas held for a while in Pittsburgh for Gary Anderson with Mike Webster as the center, and Mike, I mean, it was just pure precision. You know, just that if the laces were off by the width of the lace, he wanted to know. You know, Gary Anderson obviously is one of the best in the history. So, those two were that was easy. that was easy money.
If you saw the Monday night game, it wasn't easy. I mean, I thought that's where you could panic as a holder. It was not a good snap, and then they got it down.
Yeah. And even the one the one last night it kind of went through his hands into his chest, you know, he kind of knocked it down but he was able to get it back up and the laces were right but he still knocked it through.
Well, the 49ers, I mean, they win this game. I mean, it's almost a miracle when you think about it. I mean, they had lost seven games in a row on the road, and two plays were so key. I mean, that run by Gabbard, 44 yards, and then the touchdown pass in overtime to Torrey Smith. So let's talk about both of those plays, first of all, because Gabbard, he runs well. I don't know that you expect him to run 44 yards like that, but what makes him a good runner? He seems to have really good vision.
He's very athletic. I mean, you know, it wasn't a mistake that he was a first-round draft pick. I don't think. Pummeled and shell shocked in Jacksonville. But no, I mean, you know, my guess I was watching it, but hard to tell on television what the coverage was. But my guess is it was some sort of two deep, five under man coverage. The best play you can have is a quarterback run against that because there's no one paying attention on the first level in the secondary. And once he was stepped up through the offense and through the line, through the pocket, I mean he's gone. And he makes a nice move, and next thing you know, it's a 44-yard touchdown. But I mean, now it doesn't surprise me that he can run well. I mean, I know people say, oh, he's more athletic than you think. Well, yeah, those guys that are back there are pretty damn athletic.
Yeah,
yeah, they don't all look like Cam Newton all the time, but. But they're pretty damn good athletes.
Yeah, well, but there are a lot of quarterbacks that are going to go into a slide, and I think the defensive backs thought maybe go into a slide, but he's under 2 minutes to go, and he had enough room right?
Yeah, he's making a play with his legs, and it was a wonderful play, and then for him to be able to come back and great call by Jeep, and they got the perfect. Perfect defense. I don't know if you remember the linebacker walked out on the slot receiver.
Yeah.
The Will linebacker walks out on the slot receiver, and then at the last minute, the safety comes down to play. A three to the slot, and the linebacker rushes. I mean, and the free safety obviously doesn't get far enough to the middle of the field, or even to his right a little further, and touchdown. A good play action fake and Torrey in open space is a good thing.
Well, I saw the quote from Gabbert saying that hitting all the underneath throws early in the game set up the touchdown at the end. And I thought, oh, wait a minute, where did I hear that? I heard that on last week's
podcast. We talked about that last week.
Yeah, because I was talking to you about all the checkdowns. That had been kind of a negative story in the media for the last week or two.
That's funny.
About
I didn't
Gabbert.
See that quote.
But it is funny because you go an entire game into overtime, and then that is set up. You're just kind of waiting for that to happen.
Yeah. And you try and pick your spots. And like I said, the defense played right into their hands, like I said, the linebacker walk into the slot. Because with the linebacker walking out to the slot, initially, you might be thinking, oh, shoot, they might be playing two to the slot, cover two, because they can do that and rush the, rush the buck linebacker or the strong side linebacker. And then, like I said, that safety, on the pre-snap, even when I was watching it, the safety came down, I was like, ooh. Not knowing what the play was, but hopefully they got a throw on here, they did, that was terrific.
Yeah, it seems like it comes out of nowhere too, because the rest of the game, I mean, they had 8 punts on their first 10 drives. It's just not something that you expect all of a sudden, for them to come through in a play like that. I think a lot of fans are saying, why can't we see more of that?
Yeah, well, I think that. Let me back up a second and say that hopefully with this win on the road, the guys, the whole team, gets an idea of, okay, this is a little bit more of what it takes to win on the road that you and I talked about last week, and that is that you have to beat your opponent, you have to beat the officials, you have to beat the fans.
Right.
On the road.
Yeah, the George Seifert theory. Yeah.
Exactly. And hopefully they get a little better feel for, what it takes. Offensive in the beginning of the game, I was actually driving in the car, so I was listening to, Ted and to Tim, Tim kept going on about, defensive line is not quite settled in doing what they need to do individually. And Gabbert's not settled in. It's a little off, not seeing the field. So, kind of going on that, and then obviously as the game went along, then I was watching it. Then you could see that Gabbert started to get, he started to get his rhythm. But I have to be honest that it even late in the game, I thought, golly, when you're struggling. There's a reason why, and that is that guys just aren't making plays. Doesn't have to be the superstar guy. It just whomever is out there is not making a play. And the example to that is a linebacker. Honestly, I don't even remember who it was. Ball gets tipped. It's third down, late in the game. Chicago has the ball, backed up. One of the defensive Niners defensive linemen tips the ball. Ball goes right into the hands of a linebacker.
Yeah, I remember that.
At like the 20, 25, maybe 30-yard line. I mean, okay, when you're winning games, plays there are being made. You know, he catches the ball, you run a few plays, you kick the field goal on third down, you win the game.
Right.
You know what I mean? Actually, you know, maybe it was overtime. Maybe it was already overtime. Might have been overtime already. But to my point of, you know, there were a few plays where the Niners didn't make them, and I thought, golly, this is why they're losing. You have to make these plays on, you know, in critical situations when they're presented to you, and you're not making them.
It's true. Yeah.
Thank goodness for Blaine, I wish that I would have seen the beginning of the game when he was struggling, just to, you know, see his feet and see his timing. But he definitely turned it around and made plays got the ball. Well, he made one play himself for sure, but got the ball in the playmaker's hands when it was needed.
Yeah, that run, by the way, that's his first touchdown run of his career. And another first was the interception by Jimmy Ward. And that was a play that was made that, you know, needed to be made. And he ended up with a pick six. That was a huge play defensively.
Yeah, it was absolutely. But they're just... there need to be more of those, you know, and the teams that are winning are making those plays. And hopefully to that point that the Niners can continue to make those plays.
Yeah. You know, the Bears had their share of rushing yards, but they ran the ball a lot. I mean, I don't know that you can say the 49ers rush defense was bad. You know, it seemed like they didn't have a lot of big gainers or anything like that, but they just, the emphasis on the run for the Bears was there. I mean, they said, you know, we're running.
Yeah.
We don't care if we have rushes that don't gain a lot of yards.
Right. Yeah. Obviously they had looked at the Seattle film and saw that, you know, Seattle rushed the ball for whatever it was, 250 yards, 300 yards. They were going with that. And when I was saying that Tim Ryan was obviously a defensive lineman himself, so he was more focused on guys trying to do too much, especially in their 34 defense where those front three guys have to be able to stand up their linemen as well as trying to, you know, playing that two gap where you're trying to occupy basically two linemen and keep them from getting to your linebackers.
Right.
So he was just commenting that he felt like what really got them in trouble a couple weeks ago was guys trying to do too much and not sticking with their assignments.
Yeah, and it seems like that's happened, you know, throughout the year. I mean, you mentioned before that there have been times where there have been blown assignments and then somebody's just wide open and you see that.
It seems like they've limited those lately.
I would
completely agree. Yeah. And I don't know if it's guys just getting better and knowing the schemes or if they've slowed down the disguising of coverages and things like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Being physical too? Because I mean, they want to be physical. You don't want to get penalties. That, you know, we saw that dial penalty from last week. But you just block that out and say, you know what, that was a bad call. Because they do seem like they're getting physical. That there was that sack on Cutler by Tart where he threw him down. He just body slammed him down to the ground, and he didn't get a penalty.
He's lucky he didn't get a penalty there.
Yeah, you know, you can't do
anytime that. Anytime doesn't really even have to be a quarterback. Anybody gets thrown down like that, you know, kind of hogtied and like a calf roper and throws him down on his back. It's usually a penalty.
Yeah. But they're trying to play physical. I mean, they're forget about penalties, just trying to play as physical as they can.
Right, right. But I back to that point from Tim Ryan I think that's what his point was. You've got to be those front three guys have to be physical, and occupying more than just one guy, and that's in the running game, especially in that 3-4 defense, which is not really built to stop the run. I mean, 34 defense is built to stop the pass because you can play cover two, you can disguise who your fourth rusher is going to be. It's not necessarily a defense that's designed to stop the run. So, that's the way of the NFL. That's the cycle that we're back in again, that people are playing more 34 defense as opposed to a four-man line.
Well, certainly some of the teams the Niners are playing coming up are passing teams like Cincinnati and Detroit. I mean, definitely, it would bode well to play well on your pass defense. I'm not sure about Cleveland coming up on Sunday. They're just not doing anything well. I mean, they're on their second-string
quarterback. Johnny Football's back in there, man.
Is he going to be the starter? I haven't even seen
that's
yet.
That's what they said yesterday, yeah.
Okay, so Johnny Manziel will get the start. I mean, yeah, they're just struggling big time, having a terrible season. So, what do you look for as far as just the whole outlook here? You got Gabbert, fighting for respectability to say, hey, I want to be the starter next year too. And Tom Sula, people were talking about his job just a couple weeks ago. And, you wonder if you put together a couple wins in a row, what does that say then?
Yeah, I think they're all playing for respectability right now. I mean, every coach, every player, you're what, 4-8?
4-8. Browns are 2-10, by the way.
Yeah, but so they need to go in. They need to go into Cleveland, take the end of the fourth quarter, the finish of the game, kind of that attitude, and go into Cleveland that this is we're supposed to win this game. Let's play like we're supposed to win this game. I don't beat your opponent, beat the refs, beat the fans. We're a better team than them, and let's take it to them from the get-go. That in my mind, that needs to be the attitude. And I think Blaine's getting some chemistry with some of the receivers. The tight end situation is unfortunately went from looking like it was maybe the best tight end situation in the game, to having one healthy tight end.
Yeah, so, Vance McDonald had a concussion, so that's not good.
Yeah, I don't know what his protocol is like this week, but to lose Celek now, maybe Vance McDonald for a week, definitely not gonna help.
No, they're down to one regular tight end, Blake Bell. That's it.
Yeah. So. You probably need to rely on those receivers more, and getting them more involved makes for a little bit harder running game. Not having an experienced blocking tight end in there. That's a little bit of a challenge for the offensive coaches as well as the players.
Do you think that the adjustment that this team made, once they decided to go with Gabbert instead of Kaepernick, is that important to look at? I mean, is it something that they should be proud of that they've done? It seems like a little bit better, not getting sacked as much. Gabbert's making some more plays. Is it just the style of the quarterback maybe that's changed things a little bit?
Absolutely. He's a little more traditional. A little more traditional. Pocket passer, even though that was his rap that he couldn't stay in the pocket in Jacksonville, but that makes Jeep's job a little bit easier. I'll call it. You can again go back to what we talked about a few weeks ago. Of you can line up with a tight end, two backs in the backfield. You can run the ball. You can play action pass, and you can. run traditional drop-back passes as well, because Blaine's being decisive and getting the ball out of his hands. There were a couple spots this past Sunday where I almost thought that he went too fast to where he wanted to go, where he didn't let some receivers run people off and then have that underneath guy to throw to.
I agree. So, I mean, there was one time where he was standing there and he had plenty of time, but he still seemed like, you know what, I got to get rid of it. I just got to get rid of it. Sometimes you got to take advantage of that extra time.
No, yeah, and I think that's coming for him. But back to your original question, having Blaine in there definitely has helped the offense. It is, and I know for a fact it's definitely helped Jeep. Calling plays and game planning.
Yeah, and maybe the offensive line's getting a little more confident. I mean, giving up all those sacks earlier in the year and not being able to do a whole lot with the offense, and still the offense is kind of like up and down, but maybe they get a little more confidence?
No question, because they know now that Blaine's getting the ball out of his hand. You know, in the beginning of the season with Colin, you know, they're in the back of their minds, they're like, okay, is he standing back here still holding the ball, not knowing where he's going with it? You know, that becomes all a confidence issue, and they start questioning Cap, and that, you know, then they start questioning themselves that, oh man, we gotta be able to protect for 4 seconds. You know, that's not easy to do. So I think it's helping. Helping the offensive line, that Blaine's getting the ball out. Whether it's complete or not, it's not a sack. And I think that's that confidence in the passing game is also helping some in the running game. And it doesn't hurt that Sean Drawn's been running with the ball hard and been able to catch the ball out of the backfield as well.
Yeah, he's pretty good coming out of the backfield. They should pack their warm clothing. This will probably be the coldest game of the year playing in Cleveland in December.
Yeah.
Those games are never easy. I mean, do you remember some really cold games where it was hard to feel the ball?
Absolutely. I've played at Cleveland. Never where it was super cold, but I do remember one where it was just a torrential downpour, which was an ugly game. So I've been fortunate to be there most of the time when the weather was decent, other than that rainstorm.
Hey, you were lucky.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, Steve, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And I look forward to talking about the game against the Browns next week.
Sounds good.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono, and he will join us again next Tuesday to talk about the 49ers game against the Browns on Sunday. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to San Francisco 49ers Extra.